Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for February 1st, the year of our Lord, 2026, and this is the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany. It is an absolute joy once again to welcome you here to the podcast. I pray where you are that it's warmer than where I am, but if not, hopefully our time together will warm us all up a bit. So let's just jump right in with what we do here at the beginning of the podcast, and that is to pause for a moment and to breathe and to give thanks to God for all that is good. So let's begin. Take a big, deep breath. Just take it in, breathe in through your nose, and then hold on to that breath. Savor it for the gift that it is, the gift of life. Let it go. And take in another breath, continuing in this spirit of gratitude. Thanks be to God for the gift of life. And as you breathe, I encourage you to call to mind those things that are good, the things that light you up inside, that affirm for you the goodness of life, the people and the places, the situations, the opportunities that you have. Hold them in mind and then hold them before God, perhaps naming them and giving thanks to God for each and every one of them. And in this state of mind, in this posture, in this spirit, let's begin together in worship.
Opening prayer. Perfect light of revelation, as you shone in the life of Jesus, whose epiphany we celebrate, so shine in us and through us, that we may become beacons of truth and compassion, enlightening all creation with deeds of justice and mercy. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Thank you.
Let's pause for a moment and pray. Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for the gift of this, your good and living word, a word that can heal and enlighten and inspire. We thank you for this time to gather around this word. And we ask this of you, God, that you would draw near, that you would bring us to a state of stillness, of peace and quiet, that you'd save us from misinterpretation and distraction, so that we could really receive this gift, that we can hear, O God, what it is you're saying to us through this, your good word. We ask this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Friends, on this fourth Sunday after the Epiphany, we are blessed to engage with these stories from Matthew's Gospel. This Sunday and next Sunday, too, we'll be considering passages from the Sermon on the Mount, as it's called, that appears in chapters 5, 6, and 7 in Matthew's Gospel. I strongly encourage you to read this talk, this sermon, in its entirety. One of the blessings you get is that I believe we get an understanding by reading this sermon. We get an understanding of what it would have been like to hear Jesus preach. This is probably not the first time, certainly won't be the last time that Jesus says things like he says in this sermon. He really lays out who he is, why he's come, and why we might want to follow, why we ourselves might want to become disciples. So just prior to this, we get the story of Jesus calling the 12, his first disciples, a collection of regular people. We don't see him going to the best universities and Hebrew schools. We don't see him going to Harvard or Oxford or some prestigious place of learning to find high-minded individuals. Jesus finds and calls people whom he knows will be able to hear what he's saying, truly hear it and respond to it, and to be able, when the time comes, to take up his mantle, to carry his cross, if you will. So he calls those disciples, and then they go out and begin the work. Jesus hears of the arrest of John the Baptist and realizes his time is now. His public ministry is happening. And he goes out and teaches and preaches in a way that no one's ever heard. He preaches their story as if he is the author of that story. And person by person, they come to realize that indeed somehow he is the author of their story. He is the author of life. There's a countenance about him, a way in his speaking that is so enlightening and so encouraging that they're compelled to follow. The teaching combined, very importantly, with the signs and wonders, the miraculous healings. The hungry are fed, the blind see, the deaf hear, those afflicted with fevers and all kinds of maladies are healed. They're made whole. And in the being made whole, they can come to understand and interpret the brilliant teaching, this holistic ministry that Jesus brings into their present. He does it so well and so effectively that the word is out. And people from all over, people who perhaps have heard him speak before, want to hear more. Those who maybe weren't touched, weren't healed, couldn't make the previous meeting, come in haste, I believe, and press in on him to participate in what's going on. Because what's going on, there's never been anything like it before in human history. And so they come. great crowds come. Among the crowds are the 12. And so we pick up the story. With that background, we pick up today's story in verse 1. Jesus saw the crowds. He went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Now, I think we can read that as, yes, the 12 came and sat at his feet, but he's clearly not just speaking to the 12. He's speaking to the 12, and he's speaking to anyone who seeks to be with him and wants to help them understand what's happening in his presence. Because what's happening is profound, will change the history of the world, will change their lives forever. Anyone who seeks to be in his presence wants to internalize what he says and then go out and do it, that's a disciple. The ones who want to be with him and after being with him seek to be like him, to do the things he did, to try to teach according to their gifts and skills, the way he taught. A disciple is someone who decides to be with Jesus, to learn from him, and then to build their lives around him. And those gathered here are in a variety of the spectrum. Some are closer to really active discipleship than others. Some are just curiosity seekers. Some may have thought that they just came for the healing and then they'd be on their way. And so Jesus begins to address all that, I believe. So everyone's gathered there. They're on the hillside, on the mountain. And he began to speak to them. And these are familiar. I'll read a fair amount through and then we'll reflect a little bit. He began to speak to them saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And he transitions a little bit. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And if we can think about all the lives and the life stories represented in that crowd that gathered, those that made a journey from near or far for a variety of motivations, Jesus, it just gives them all kinds of things to think about what it means to be blessed, how blessing comes. And in a lot of these categories, to just read them at their face doesn't initially make a lot of sense. Being poor in and of itself is not a state of blessing. It's not something that one would aspire to be. No one seeks to mourn as part of a spiritual practice or to put themselves in an undue state of vulnerability or meekness. What I hear Jesus saying and teaching is in a manner of almost show and tell. Ever hear a sermon and you think, "Wow, I think he's talking to me." It was like that sermon was written just for me. My instinct, my gut reaction to this is that's what was happening in the crowd. Because certainly among the crowd were the poor. Certainly among the crowd were those who were in mourning. Certainly among the crowd were the meek and the vulnerable. and in the presence of the teacher, and in the witness and the knowledge of the healing and the preaching and the countenance of the man, they were blessed. They didn't have to wait for their finances to change or their health to change or their circumstances to change. The kingdom of heaven had drawn near, and they were in its presence. They were blessed right there and right then, that their lives mattered. And he gives them a refreshed sense of meaning and purpose and direction, that there's more to their daily living than they experience in the working and the paying and the living and the dying and the violence, etc. He blesses them with a kind of hope that can only come in his presence. The kind of hope that can only be sustained when they hang on every word, and then they internalize it and they want to be like it. And then this transition happens after he speaks of the poor and the mourning and the meek, that as you live this life, as you live into your blessedness, you'll find that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are filled, that the merciful receive mercy, that the pure in heart will see God life all around them, that peacemakers will be understand to be special because around peacemakers, peace can be infectious. Those who live life in a peaceful disposition and manner. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness and for theirs. I'm going to read that again. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. All these disciples, all of these who have come in to lean and listen, lean in and listen and learn from the teacher, from Jesus, the miracle-working God-man, all of them hear the words right where they are, and a path begins to unfold. Blessed are you right here, right now, in my presence, at my touch, at the sound of my voice. And in that, an eternity is possible. And a couple points, I think, that are helpful as you read the text. One is we repeatedly hear of the kingdom of heaven, that blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, they'll see God. The blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What is this kingdom of heaven? Is it somewhere else? Is it a spot in a place, a location reserved for someday after perhaps once you get all your things in order and get it right? Or is it present? Is it fully embodied in the one sitting before them teaching? The gracious, challenging, loving healer. That the kingdom of heaven is come. This is epiphany. This is God light radiating from Jesus in his words and in his actions. One of my favorite thinkers and authors on this topic, Dallas Willard, I highly commend to you his book, The Divine Conspiracy, and some other work about Beatitudes, about what it means to be a disciple. I'm paraphrasing, but Dallas's definition of the kingdom of heaven is the range of God's effective will, representing the present active reign of God, wherever what God wants done is done. That's the kingdom of heaven, breaking in the here and now. And we can participate in it. That's discipleship. The disciple is the one who decides to be with Jesus, like those people there on that day. I want to be with him. I want to learn from him. not only to receive the immediate healing, but to be blessed with a whole new way of experiencing and living in the world. The kingdom of heaven, the range of God's effective will. And to live in the kingdom of heaven then is to experience and live in righteousness. There's another definition. A definition that I've picked up from Dallas Willard. And that righteousness is a transformed life that embodies the character of Jesus Christ, actively doing what is right through the power of God's grace, a life that aligns with the kingdom of God. I think that just to shorten that is we can live in the kingdom of heaven now. And it doesn't mean that all the earthly pressures and troubles go away. But it provides us with an unshakable sense of hope that there is much more to life than meets the eye that we might experience on a daily basis. And so my hope for us in considering these words and definitions is that we might place ourselves in the crowd. And when, I really encourage you, please, read the whole sermon. Think of the ways you need healing. Think of the ways you have been healed, the ways you need grace or have experienced grace. And hear this sermon as one written just for you. Blessed are you when you take the time to crack open your Bible and turn the page to Matthew chapter 5 and read all the way through chapter 7. Blessed are you because epiphany, because revelation is happening in your mind, in your heart. You can participate in the kingdom of heaven now, not in some cloudy kingdom in the corner of the cosmos, but present here, present in your peacemaking, present in your ability to be gracious and peaceful, even in your poverty, even in your poverty of spirit, when you feel broken. Sit at the feet of the teacher. Look into his eyes. See him looking back at you. See him loving you and naming you and blessing you and encouraging you that everything, every little thing is going to be okay. Follow me. Do what I say. I will give you help. I will be by your side. It will be hard at times, but I am with you. I've said too much already, but I pray that you spend some time. You disciples, lean in and listen. Pick up some encouragement and live in, take action on what you've heard. And you will find the kingdom of heaven is here. And that is tremendously good news. To which I say, Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we call out to you, we pray. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God of Esther and Mary and Martha. God of apostles and disciples. God of the unnamed faithful, our God. We come to you and we lean in and we listen to the words of Jesus. And we do. We want to be disciples. We want to be like him. And we know that we can only do that with your help. And so we pray that you come alongside us right here and right now. Bless us with exactly what we need in this moment for this day. And we know that you know us. We know that you know that we sin and we fall short. We turn our backs on this gospel for a variety of reasons. We want to go our own way, trust in our own understanding. And you know that sometimes we say things we shouldn't say. Sometimes we're quiet when we ought to speak up. We act impulsively, or we fail to act. You know these things. We confess them to you because you've promised that in the confession is healing and forgiveness. And we pray to receive that forgiveness in this moment. A fresh start, new courage, new hope. And with that in mind, God, we pray over this good world of yours. There is so much beauty, so much goodness. We can see it in the eyes and the actions of people that we meet on the street, our co-workers, our friends, our students, our family. Sometimes it gets stifled. Sometimes the darkness tries to encroach, the violence and the chaos. We pray over all of it, God, and we pray your healing mercies surround this good, good earth, the entirety of your creation. We pray for people in positions of power and influence that you would touch their hearts, that they might gather on the hill and listen to the words of Jesus and seek to be disciples, seek to participate in the kingdom of heaven. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the folks that we meet on the street. We pray for friends and neighbors and strangers. Meet everybody where they need you, right where they are. And each and every one of us, God, I know, keeps some kind of a prayer list. An accounting of the things that they need help with, the things that they're excited about, the things they're worried about. You know what these lists contain. We have one, each of us. And so we pause for a moment to unfold these lists and to hand them over to you and pray, God, that you'll consider every word. And that you'll add to that list the things that we forgot to pray over. And so we hand the list to you and get quiet. Just sit in a moment of stillness, knowing that you're considering our prayers as we listen for your answers. We break our silence. We give you thanks for the gifts of peace and quiet. We thank you for listening to us, helping us. We'd ask that you hear us as we celebrate a gift that we receive from Jesus, passed down by disciples that came before us. Hear us, O God, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so with our ears inclined to the teacher, the words he has that are just for us, so that we could go out and tell the others about a kingdom that is now, the kingdom of God, our God, the one that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.